this evening at April 15th is all. But who's in a hurry for time to go by quickly now? Here's an email I got, and this person says, I have studied the Bible diligently for 33 years. I taught my children what I thought was correct by that personal study and hearing pastors over the years. Seems to me, as faithful as God is and how careful he is to watch over us, why would he allow me to go so long and teach as a Sunday school teacher, 5th and 6th graders, a false Jesus? Can you help me understand this? And now they understand the Paul thing if they're on the road. So, you know, and this just made me do some thinking here. And I would ask the same question. I think many of us do. And, I mean, all the kids that I've taught, 25,000 kids, how many kids have I taught wrongly something, you know? And something as dangerous as this to Sunday schools or to adults as a pastor, preaching what I did for years, the website that I had on there for years that people liked because it was Baptist stuff, and now we're doing this. And is it just like everybody out there says, oh, everybody's got their own thing? Is there really a final truth? Is there really a final authoritative truth? Well, yes, there is. You just have to believe your book. And if you don't believe your Bible, it's because you don't understand rightly dividing. Once you understand rightly dividing, and I mean really divide, Paul only, will things totally make sense. So here are some thoughts that I have towards that question. Why would you? God is so as faithful as God is, and how careful he is to watch over us, why would he allow us to go so long teaching a false Jesus? Okay, here's my first thought here. He did try. I think he tried. I mean, he gave us a Bible. And how many of us started this whole scene with Bible versions, different ones? I had a parallel Bible, and I felt so smart because I could compare different versions to see what God really wanted to say. You know, I felt that way, very scholarly. Great big thick thing. There's the four parallels of the English Bible, the RSV, the Living Bible, and of course, the King James. But that, you know, that's a dead book. It's a dead, deceptive book. God isn't going to teach anything through that book. I don't believe. I don't believe it. Those are dead books of religion. I think they're just, like I said, they're just dead. But I came along with this King James thing, and God's going to try to tell us this, I believe, because that's what he wants. And that's going to come through somebody's preaching a message, or that's going to be some tract you're going to find that mentions that fact. And it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to open our eyes to that thing a little bit. Okay, so once you've got that King James Bible thing, if that's what it is you're dealing with, I think God is very, I think he tries all the time to get us to see it. It's kind of like, you know, why would we hold God accountable for not trying to teach us something when he probably was, and obviously we didn't get it. You read your Bible where Paul says what Paul says. How could we miss it? It was there. The answer was there all the time. I remember it must have been 30 years ago back at New York. I've said this before. Somebody told me that we're supposed to be following Paul's teachings, not the teachings. And I just laughed at the guy. Still, that's idiotic and insane. Well, here we are later. That's exactly what I'm doing. So, you know, it's not that God hasn't tried. We, in our religion, we followed teachings instead of his words. Whether they be Baptistic teachings or Lutheran teachings or whatever they are, they're somebody's teachings. And I suppose people are guilty with me. I mean, these are not my teachings. I'm trying to show people what the Bible says, and they can go from there. But, you know, whatever. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Like this study about the Spirit. I'm not going to come to any fantastic conclusion. I just think it's interesting to see what the Bible says about spirits. The Spirit, unclean spirits, and to look at it from a rightly divided standpoint, there's some different action in there. And that's as far as it's going to go. I've got my own spirit, and I look at things quite a bit, by the way, looking at music. How does music fit into me and the Spirit of God and in my life and the music I try to play and teach and is it pleasing to God or not kind of a thing? Is it good for the kids? Is it bad for the kids? You know, those kind of things that quench the Spirit in me, the Spirit of God in me kind of stuff. So anyway, man, my first thought is I think God did try to teach us the right thing. I don't think God sat back and just let us teach it falsely. I don't think he tried to teach us. He gave us a Bible. Okay, so we followed the teachings of all these people. You know, I mean, I followed Matovich, I followed Ruckman, I followed Gift's teachings, I followed, give me the name, Hiles. I mean, all these big guys, I got to sit with them and talk to them, and I just, Rex and all these guys, you know, I just followed what they taught. Never did I ever open my Bible, except when Rex preached on music, he made me want to study music, not hear what he says. I think I need to see what the Bible says about music. That's where I got started. And this Paul stuff, I never read any of Bullinger's and these guys, I can't even think of the names anymore, that Ruckman says, you know. I just read my Bible, and it just started to click that we're to look to Paul. Then we looked at the Hebrews to Jude, then we looked at Acts 1 through 8, and it all came about from reading the Bible and studying the Bible, nobody else's stuff. So then I finally listened to, for example, hear Ruckman preaching on hyper-dispensationalists, and I'm thinking, well, that's not me, because it's not. Mid-Acts, I'm not mid-Acts. I'm not, you know, all this stuff, hyper-grace, no. I'm just Bible, just plain and simple, right to divide this thing, and let's start teaching what you read. Okay, so I think God did try to tell us about all this stuff, but we were so busy caught up in the teachings of our different heroes and churches and denominations and stuff that we just miss it because they certainly don't teach it. And look what the Bible says about pastors. They're ministers of righteousness during Paul's dispensation of grace. I mean, they're preaching a righteousness, but it's a false righteousness. Okay, so they're teaching us wrong there. We know that they're deceiving and being deceived. They're deceived and being deceived, and they're deceiving other people. We know that they're putting forth a form of godliness, and they're preaching a vain and profane and vain babbling. See, we followed all that stuff. So how was God going to show us until somebody came along and showed you the Bible, not their denominational teachings or their website teachings or whatever? Or this pastor's teachings, you know. Man, I'm telling you, trying to convince a Ruckmanite, for example, there's a difference in this stuff. It's impossible. They never go to the scriptures. They always say, well, Dr. Ruckman teaches da-da-da-da. It's amazing here, you know. So we fell for these guys. We were just as guilty as it says in Timothy here, we were just as guilty as men with corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. We figured the gain was godliness. And envy and strife comes out of all that stuff and questions and strifes about where we didn't, you know, we played the game. Was God trying to tell us something? Sure he was. He gave you a King James Bible. And people have gone all the way from, refusing the rightly dividing to where they go to profane, like I said, profane and vain babblings, and they just get this godliness without the power thereof. They want to gain. They want their religion. They don't despise, and they don't destroy the magnificence. They follow it. So I think God's always tried to teach us this stuff. He gave us a Bible, and there it is. Read it, kind of a thing. And then there's something else we got to remember. I believe we need to remember anyway, and that's Romans. You know, the old standard where I go. Romans 11 and Romans chapter 2. God specifically says he's not going to interfere in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. They're just treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God's just going to let them go about it. And could it be for all those years? Now, here we go. Now, this is not an accusation. This is not a slam like Paul says. You know, bear with me. He says, I'm not here to shame you or anything like that. Could it possibly be that maybe you truly weren't, or we, I should say we, truly weren't saved during all those years of religion? So how is he going to teach us anything? We're not even saved anyway. So when we read a King James Bible on our own, it starts to click because that's where we hear the truth. That's where faith comes from. That's where we hear from God. He's not going to get through any other way. And so then we look at Romans 2. He's just not going to interfere. And if you are a Christian, he's still not going to interfere because that's the judgment seat of Christ's purpose. He'll take all those teachings we've done to people and they'll all burn. Sadly, how many people will burn because of our teachings? Yeah, that's a hard thing. But then I think we also have to remember this. Romans chapter 11. You know, it's that thing. We see so much going on here today. Tribulational stuff. One would almost think we're in the tribulation, except for a few things. Nobody's making us take the mark. We don't have all these natural things happening in one big kibosh. The world is not going through something it has never done before. We got to remember none of us are old enough to remember World War II. That was the world was at war, and it was awful. I keep seeing those documentaries and stuff. I just can't imagine. That was a way of life. And these guys, all these guys floating across the ocean on these ships, you know, thousands were going to die in the next hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. The doors open up. Boom. They're done. And you go back to the Civil War and all the lead flying through the trees, and you read how people died from injuries, not just instantly killed. And yet all these young men traipsing across the fields with this gun that only shoots one chunk of lead at a time, and you got to clean the gun and do it again. His family knew, you know, what was coming up. That was we don't have that going on. So 11:22, we just got to remember that this whole thing about the risen Savior and Paul, which is where he preaches the goodness of God, that is not popular. And it's getting less popular because not only do we know that the tribulation is coming, not only do we know that people don't want the real Jesus, they want this fuzzy warm one, we know that they don't want to hear about the goodness of God. And the religious people want to preach the severity of God. And it's going to come to a point where it says in that verse, God's going to cut off the Gentile nation. That's the rapture. He's going to cut that whole thing off and go right back to his people. The Gentiles have had their time. The fullness of Gentiles be come in. It's done. So just be thankful that God finally got through. Took somebody 33 years. It took me since 75. And like I say, were we even saved back then? Or do we just get religion, like they said? Somebody showed me the King James thing, started to make sense, and something changed. I wonder if that isn't where the salvation actually took. Or did it take when we start looking at the Paul thing? Now I'm starting to realize that Paul needs to lay the foundation, not the Jesus foundation in the Gospels, but the Jesus foundation, the risen Jesus foundation through Paul. Maybe my salvation really took then. Because, you know, since we started this thing, this Bible has been exciting to me. It just clicked so well, so many things. I don't know. But, you know, God was faithful. He did try. We just wouldn't let him, we just wouldn't listen to him. Or we weren't able to listen to him. We were so deceived and tricked. And following the wrong thing. We know that the Spirit of God prays for us, so he was trying that, you know. Romans 8:28-29. So I hope that helps answer that question. You know, I think God was totally always trying to get us to see this stuff. And then when we see it, we know where it says that the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of that knowledge, we're recognizing the light, not just the knowledge. People get knowledge and they see no light. I think it's because they get the knowledge of an undivided Bible, and it makes no sense to them, so they don't get the light. Anyway, that's that thought. Tonight, just for a few more minutes here, that took up enough time right there. Let's just look at some general things. Nothing's put together to prove a concluded, objective, miraculous point here that'll change everybody's lives. But let's just look at this spirit stuff again. Go to 1 John. Find out, just kind of remind us where we are here. We're 1 John chapter 4. where it says there, in the tribulation time, these people will have to try the spirits to make sure that they're of God. And how are they going to know that? Well, that's every spirit, not just the spirit, but every spirit. That's interesting. And it's not a capital S, that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So when it starts off there in verse 1, try the spirits, plural, and then it says every spirit, meaning there could be more than one. Not that there is any other spirit that's going to confess that, but it's not saying the specific spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, that's the one. It doesn't say that. Every spirit that confesses to Jesus Christ. So this is an interesting subject, this thing about spirit. And then we see down in verse 5 when it talks about they are of the world. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the spirits. But this is tribulational stuff. So what is spirit? Spirits. Spirits of. Spirit of. Come up with when you do it in a rightly divided fashion. Well, I see Jeanette was making that study. Now, if you guys don't have a concordance online, you can get them free. But if you want me just to send you, you know, any word that's on a concordance, I can print the verses out and send them to you. If you want to look at that way, I can send them to you, and you can do your own study. Sit back and you read about the spirits, the spirit of, and I started to recognize, like I said, spirit of infirmity, the spirit of divination, the spirit of adoption. I noticed this, divination, for example, says a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Others say the spirit of something. Is that important? I think that's very important. A and the. The spirit of meekness, the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, and it's a small s. I believe that the capital S and the small s plays a large part in this thing, which, by the way, is how you can tell a Bible. Matthew 5:9, I think it is. 5:4, but Matthew 4:5, Matthew 4 something, Matthew 5 something, Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, capital S, and modern Bibles, or even King James Bibles. A lot of them have a small s there. If you have a small s there, you've got a Bible, you've got a King James Bible that's been tinkered with. So that's the one verse I remember anyway. So we look to the Gospels, and what do we see? We see verse after verse after verse of unclean spirits. We see people being possessed with them. We see Jesus speaking to them and them and these unclean spirits coming out of people. And we see them coming out with a loud voice. It says that people are vexed with them. We see people that are cured of them. We see a verse in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, and I don't go anywhere with this, but it's just a bunch of women that had the unclean spirits and what they were like. Mary Magdalene herself had seven devils, which is different than the spirits, but still, they're quite often similar. You've got 70 disciples that were given the power over unclean spirits, not just the big guys, but 70 of them. Christ cast out unclean spirits. They went into a bunch of pigs, into swine. Know that story. The apostles were giving power against, it says, against the unclean spirits. That's quite a thing during the gospel time. A lot of that stuff going on. And those spirits would be in those people. And when they'd come out, it says here in Acts 8:7, they come out with a loud voice. That's quite the thing. Well, what do we have going on in Hollywood today? These religious movies, and you got chick comics. All this baloney out there that's making this gospel stuff sound like it's going on today. You know? Well, so if these people are going to believe and follow the Gospels and early Acts, then they need to be willing to realize that this is what goes on. We get evil spirits in us, and we need to have them exorcised out or cast out. We're vexed with them, and let's get rid of them, and then we'll be that good walking Christian. But see, that's not Paul at all. We look at Revelation, which is past, present, future. But it's got some facts in there. Seven spirits before his throne. Revelation 1, 3, 4, and 5. Seven spirits of God. Capital S. Capital S. Yet we go to Zechariah, and we see four spirits of the heaven standing before the throne. Small s. And there's a difference. If you just stop and think about it, four spirits of the heaven, small s, you know, and in Old Testament has the capital S for Spirit of God. There's no denying that there. And yet there's seven spirits before his throne. That's Zechariah 6 and 5, chapter 6, verse 5. Read that one. Compare that to the seven spirits of God in Revelation. There is just a slight difference there. You've got in Revelation 16, verse 14, which is something we're dealing with more and more today, I do believe. Revelation 16, let's go there for a second here. As we near the tribulation, because this is a tribulational fact, but as we near the tribulation, these things are going to be on the increase. What is that? That's in verse 14, where it says they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So these spirits of devils are going to be doing miracles. And we know that God doesn't do signs and miracles and healings and speaking in tongues today. That's the Great Commission. So if the Great Commission is teaching that, and you've got people that are following that kind of teaching, then we know what they're doing. They're following more and more spirits of devils. These miracles are tricking people to think that they're... See, if they were a Christian, they wouldn't be gathering together. They wouldn't be able to gather together someday to battle the great day of God Almighty, it says. They'll be on the devil's side. So there can't be a true salvation just because of that. These people are being deceived by miracles. And you read about them all the time in the paper, in the news and stuff. And there's more and more to make a bigger fuss about it, you know. God can heal anybody he wants, but he doesn't need a healer to do it. He's not going to teach us to speak in tongues. He's not going to give us those healings. He's not going to, you know, we don't do the signs. That was Great Commission. Paul says, we don't do signs. If you're following signs, you're susceptible to following a miracle. And again, the miracles are spirits of devils tricking people with a false salvation. And we see in verse 13, we see three unclean spirits. That's like the Trinity. Look at that. It says here, frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they're like frogs. You know, so go with what you want with that. I mean, they're frogs. And like frogs. I mean, they're not frogs, but they're like frogs coming out of the mouth of these creatures. That's just wild stuff. Okay, so there's what you get as far as the plural spirits out of Revelation. And Gospels, we talked about that. We look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. An interesting little statement here. Hebrews chapter 1. See, we look at these things. They still can be facts, but they don't have to be applicable to us, but they're still a fact. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 says that it's Christ that maketh his angels spirits. Well, I guess that kind of tells us where these spirits can come from. Okay, that makes sense. We see in verse 14 that they're ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? So those are good spirits, good ministering spirits. Angels made spirits, maketh his angels spirits, and they're ministering spirits. Is that what we have today? Do we have ministering spirits to us today? We go to 1 Peter. You know, people say we got this angel in our, we all have this guardian angel thing. Where do they get that? Well, they have to get that from the Gospels. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. And let's just kind of remind ourselves that when he went down to hell, which he also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He didn't preach unto the souls in prison. He preached unto the spirits in prison. Then we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that during that tribulation, they're going to need to try all these spirits to see which one says, which ones or one says the right thing about Jesus Christ. That's an interesting world out there. In that spirit world, in the spirits, evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirit of slumber, spirit of the world, spirit of Antichrist. Are they all ghosty looking spirits that come into people? Well, there are some that do. I mean, that's what it is. But where are we at today with the Paul stuff? And I hadn't talked about it this morning, but let's look here. We've got Acts chapter 19, that's Paul, but that's also still Jewish time. Well, how can you say that? Well, let's look and see. Acts chapter 19, verse 12. Acts chapter 19, verse 12, actually verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Oh, really? So if Paul did miracles, why can't we do miracles today? Because Paul was dealing with Jews at the time. Are you certain about that? Well, I'll show you here. Look at verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them, out of them. Well, that's pretty exciting stuff. But you go up to verse 8, he's in a synagogue. You go down to verse 10, he's got Jews and Greeks. You go down to verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, and which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? I mean, who are ye? So Paul is important enough for this evil spirit to know him. Right? That ought to be important enough for people. You know, they knew about Jesus, and we're going to mess with him. They know about Paul, they're certainly not going to mess with him. But you, I don't know. So 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Well, what do we have going on today? Tons of that sort of a thing. And this was all known to the Jews and Greeks. That's okay. But there's still Jews in this thing. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is totally Paul, but it's still before King James Bible. One of the gifts those people had to have in those days was a discerner of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10. I meant 2 Corinthians. Anyway, you see it there. So do we need to have that kind of a gift to us today? No, because we have the Bible, which I said this morning. I won't try not to repeat it over and over again. So our spiritual discerner is the King James Bible. And how do we deal with these evil spirits that are in people? Well, God cuts us away from our flesh. So what do we have in our flesh? Wickedness, sinfulness, evil spirits, possession. I mean, the flesh is the flesh. It's wicked. It's rotten. And if ever we want to do the flesh right all the time, God's got to put his spirit upon the flesh. Well, we understand all that. So we see that. So, what is the one thing Paul says about the word spirit? Well, he goes in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy here. And he says in 4:1, he's talking about the Spirit of God. And this is the only time he says something like this. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's the Spirit of God, capital S. That in latter times, not just latter days, not just last days, but latter times. A bunny trail, I always have to bunny trail something. That'll be my bunny trail here. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, what could we be talking about here at all? Well, it's very simple. In latter times, how long have you been trying to dress modestly? How long have you been trying to stay away from something you know you shouldn't do? How long have you tried to be quiet? How long has a man tried to be a real man? After a while, you give up. You depart from the faith. Does it mean you're quitting and you're losing your salvation? No. Just means that we're starting to get messed up. We're starting to, turn away. You know, we quit. We close the Bible. We don't read it anymore. We give up. Why? Because we're in latter times of something. How long have you been a Christian? Not 15 years. Okay, you're done. What are you doing today that you didn't do 15 years ago? Kind of a thing. Used to read your Bible all the time. Now you kind of don't. Used to go to church all the time. Now you kind of don't. Well, there's no church to go to. We're here. You know, if you want to hear preaching, if that's what you want, it still exists in this country. But what's happening? Well, you're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Baptism. Losing your salvation. Go through the list, you know. Profane and vain babblings. I mean, whatever. Seducing spirits. Seducing means there's you're being seduced. You're being tricked. You're being made comfortable outside of what you know you should be doing. You're being subliminally changed. You've heard me say this, for example. How come people today that are older are okay with all this queerism and earrings on the guys and pointy, the whole thing, you know? Like whatever. And 15 years ago, they hated it. And they used to say, well, I'm not going to worry about that till it comes to my doorstep, and then I'll never let them into my house. Well, you obviously let them into your house because now you believe like they do. You're okay with it. So these things happen to us. And Paul says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. And then he goes on and he talks about it. And he says in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. What things? That you're going to be seduced and taken back by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and you're going to bag the faith. Now, you can't get rid of the faith of Jesus Christ. We learned that from Paul. But you can sure shut yours down. You start dressing like them, talking like them, fitting in, as I said it the other day. This is what will happen. This is an express warning right there. Right there. I hate to say dare, but right there. It happened to all of us. Well, it can't happen to me. Yes, it can. You can be seduced by these seducing spirits. And the doctrine you're believing, is it a doctrine that follows Paul? Well, no, but it's a doctrine in the Gospels. How can that be a doctrine of the devils? Because the devils are using the wrong truth. I can say this, the right truth, but at the wrong time, wrong dispensation. So then it becomes a doctrine of the devil. The Great Commission, if taught today, is a doctrine of the devil, doctrine of devils. And if they don't understand rightly dividing, that is a hard thing to hear somebody say. But if it's taught today to you that you need to follow this, it's one of the doctrines of devils. Trying to follow the Beatitude, that's of the devil. No wonder we don't have a whole lot of readers. No wonder money doesn't come in. Nobody wants to keep this thing going. No wonder people don't handle it in the church. No wonder people are tired of all this stuff. That's pretty hard talk. Well, you put these scriptures together and it just comes out that way. You know, everybody in the congregation says amen. Yeah, we see it, da-da-da-da. Yeah, I understand that. Well, this is why we are where we are, on a little website, teaching it to those that still find it. It still amazes me how these people find it, you know. So, there's just and if you go to the Old Testament, you see verse after verse after verse talking about familiar spirits. Not seducing spirits, but familiar spirits. And these are spirits that are around you all the time. And they just, they're against the people then. And they're wrong. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, just for one example. Leviticus 20. And all the references are similar to this, but Leviticus 20, verse 16, where he says, Leviticus 20, 16, Well, that isn't what it says there at all. I wonder where it came up. Maybe it's 26, maybe. Yep, 26. Oh, grumble. Anyway, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul. So these familiar spirits are not good. And they're hanging around the wizardry stuff. And what do we have going on today? I mean, the school was concerned that I showed a Disney movie, a scary one as such, that had a little flash of new... You know, I didn't see ahead of time. I blew it. I understand that. But if they knew, and I know they do, I shouldn't say this, if they knew, they know that these kids read Harry Potter, wizardry all the time, death, torture, the whole thing. The library's full of that kind of stuff in our schools today. Is this all brought about by familiar spirits? Well, it's all this wizardry stuff. So what do we have? Do we need to exorcise the library? No, we need to have somebody get saved. God will take the spirit, his spirit, and he will cut us away from the flesh, and he will go into us, and he will keep us clean because of his walk, not ours, and he'll try to show us how to get that flesh to do a few things right, if at all possible, because it's a testimony to others. You don't want to cause others to stumble. You want to do the right thing because you want a victory over your flesh. You want to do the right thing because it's expedient to do so. You want to do the right thing because it edifies others. It edifies the body of Christ. And this is why we want to do the right thing, not to become a Christian, but because we're a Christian. So to understand the spirit world, if you want to call it that, you've got to understand rightly dividing. And the way it was done in the Gospels isn't being done today. And the way it's being done today will not be done during the tribulation the same way. Now, you know, feel free to type up the word spirit, spirit of, spirits, separate them, and then go down your list and find on the references there where it changes to Paul's writings. Put a big line across that, underneath that thing, where it changes to Paul. Go down the list of references, underline where it changes to Hebrews, to the tribulation, and compare those three sections, whatever word you study, compare it in that manner, and you'll see that what Paul teaches is different. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if it's anything other than what I preach, then, you know, then that stuff isn't to us. Paul's stuff is to us. And that's how you study your Bible. And God will take it from there. I think it's interesting that there's the spirit of faith, meekness, promise, wisdom, revelation, his mouth, spirit of power, love, a sound mind, grace, spirit of glory, spirit of truth, spirit of error, spirit of life. I find that very interesting because those are the things that we deal with as a Christian. Then the negative is infirmity, unclean, a spirit of an unclean devil, spirit of divination, spirit of bondage to fear, spirit of slumber, spirit of fear, the world, Antichrist. I mean, it's interesting stuff. And if you read the context and you read how they show up in there, it's quite the stuff. It's a spirit world out there. But for us, we are cut away from that in our flesh. But that helps us understand why our flesh is as rotten as it is. So we don't need to get down about it. We need to understand it. And then, knowing that all things are lawful, just cut out the stuff that's going to cause someone else to trip up. Cut out the stuff that's not right. You know, we ought to cut out the stuff that, we ought to try to fight the power that stuff has over us. You know, and we know that this whole nudity thing and this drinking and all the problems that we have today is in our flesh. And you can bet the devil, these spirits of an unclean devils, of these unclean spirits, all these different titles, you can bet those things are active in our flesh. Nobody can clean their flesh up. We don't do want to do an exorcism. That's not going to do an ounce of good, except it's going to make you feel better if it even worked at all. And if you're going to do a big scene and it's going to come out with a loud voice, does that mean you're saved? Not at all. Means you're just participating in this miracle that the devil is tricking people with. And if you see somebody being exorcised, not exorcising at co-ed gyms, but I mean exorcise, you see that little routine or movie, you know it's not of God, and you know it's not teaching the world truth, and you know that it's causing people to stumble, and you know it's about another Jesus. And there's a massive deception going on with our flesh today. And by looking to Paul only for application, we see directly how to deal with it. He deals with it for us. It's the only time that he operates this way. It's a marvelous thing to study. It's a marvelous thing to understand. And do your own study. See what you come up with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we'll get back to 1 John on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to try the spirits. We know that they're in our flesh is messed up. But we've got the Spirit of God and all those things that come with it. We need to deal with that stuff. Anyway, there you have it. Those are my thoughts anyway. So do with that stuff what you may. And we'll see you folks later. Good luck with your water issue there, folks. I mean, that's just got to be a horrible... See, I can't whine to you guys about my situation. It's still... I think I'd find somebody that's having a great life so I can whine to them. I'll find somebody else there I can whine to. I know. Whine to God. I know. See you later.